we've gotten to the point where there are just way too few people that can think. And way too many of those people work in journalism. Let's call, be very kind, and let's call SRN a journalistic source. That story was parlayed, though, all over the media. Which one do you think I'm talking about? The photographer, some months ago, came forth with 50,000 pictures. I've probably saw 200 or 300 of them. And he claims that they were all taken in hospitals where the Syrian regime had brought victims of mass torture. And I saw the pictures. There's no question that those who were brought, who were photographed, were starved, they were emaciated, and they were tortured. Whoever did the perpetrated the abuse on them was inhuman. It was absolutely despicable. And there were 50,000 people who were treated this way. That's why the numbers on the Syrian proxy war, you know, went from 100,000 to 200,000 to 300,000 to 400,000, and now, you know, people are saying, well, more than 200,000. They've got no clue. But there are 50,000 photographs of people emaciated, dead, and tortured to death. But think this thing through. If you're the perpetrator, if you're the Syrian regime, and it's your regime that has the resources not just to go and hold off the Mujahideen that are trying, that have taken over three quarters of your country. So you've got three quarters of your country. It's gone. All you really have is now a ring around Damascus. And yet you have the resources to systematically torture 50,000 people. And that the way that you're going to dissuade all of your foes from arming your adversaries, the Mujahideen to the hilt, is take those that you've tortured, 50,000 of them, and you're going to drive them to a nearby civilian hospital where they can be photographed. And you think that's what took place? Listen, I can tell you for certain that those photographed, and there were tens of thousands of them, they were starved. They were systematically tortured. But there literally is no way, folks, to know who perpetrated the tortures, whether they were tortured by al-Nusra, by the Islamic State, by the Assad regime. Chances are, the answer is all three. That's why in the conflict in Syria, where your choice is the Islamic State or the Assad government, you have two evils so grotesque that the American propensity to arm one against the other is grotesque. It's just morally bankrupt. Both sides are equally evil. America has a tendency, by the way, to be played for a fool. Yesterday, we had the headlines, Edgerton, Massachusetts, because the Obaminator is taking his much-needed vacation while the world is burning all around him. He's up there in Martha's Vineyard taking his vacation because he's a, you know, king. The Obama administration, it says, is considering a range of military options to rescue the hundreds of thousands of refugees from the minority Yazidi sect trapped atop the mountain in northwestern Iraq, a senior official said. The president and his national security team are expected to review the options in a matter of days, the Obaminator said. Rhodes reiterated Obama's statements, ruling out the reintroduction of U.S. forces, even though he sent another 300 U.S. forces, for combat in Iraq. But then added, there are a variety of ways in which we can support the safe removal of the Yazidis, the Zoroastrians He didn't say that, but that's where they are. Who are stranded atop of Mount Sinjar with limited supplies of food and water, and who face threat of attack by members of the radical Islamist insurgent group known as the Islamic State. The United States has already made several humanitarian airdrops, providing 100,000 meals and 27,000 gallons of water. Now, I don't want to minimize the fact that the Islamic State has abused these people. But we were played for a fool. The claims as to the hundreds of thousands, and then down to tens of thousands and such, was made by the Kurds. And it was made by the Kurds because the Kurds wanted very sophisticated, heavy arms to establish their Kurdistan carved out of Iraq. And if they said that, hey, you know, I know you may not just want to protect the Kurds, but here's this religious minority, these poor Zoroastrians, and there you're being murdered. They're all surrounded on the top of the mountain. If you don't give us these weapons, they're all going to die. And so they exaggerated it grotesquely. So America sent in the troops. Yeah, in the darkness of night, we sent in our troops. You know what they found? Well, they found some very well-watered and very well-fed shepherds. That was on top of the mountain. Sheep herders. They had herded sheep on the top of that mountain for their whole lives. They said, well, would you like us to help you escape the onslaught of the Islamic State? They said, say what? We herd sheep. Who we are, that's what we do. But we appreciate the water and the meals. We're eating good these days. And so the United States, now that there was nobody up there, is saying, well, it was our water drops, our food drops, our humanitarian aid. We facilitated it, working in conjunction with the Embrace Death, the Kurdish military units. We saved the day. And we got played for fools. The Kurds lied. The team of 20 U.S. troops and aid workers who landed Wednesday on Iraq's Mount Sinjar, determined to facilitate a rescue operation of the besieged majorities, said, well, there were far, far fewer of them than we were led to believe. There weren't tens of thousands surrounded by the approaching Sunni Muslim extremists. And the few that we found are in much better condition than we had been led to believe. Yeah. Shepherds. Here's the United States spending hundreds of billions of dollars on technology to spy on every corner of the world, including every nuance that's taking place in America.
Wrong. Except for the cops.
Except for the cops.
That's right.
And there were no desperate Yazidis, Zoroastrians, trapped on top of that mountain. We got played for a fool. But guess what we did do? We certainly provided weapons for the Kurds. Yes, the Kurds said that an exodus of biblical proportions, where hundreds of thousands were trudging across open terrain to escape the killers of the Islamic State. Jamal Jamir, a university student in Sinjar, told CNN that his family fled to the barren, windswept Mount Sinjar after the Islamic State captured their town. He said, you know, the local Arab population joined the Islamic State, and anybody who wouldn't submit to Islam was killed. So this is a story where the Islamic State was doing what Muslims do. You either convert to Islam or you're going to die. And the Islamic State here, we have eyewitnesses that they were joined by the Awakening Program Arabs that were living in the community. And collectively, they carried out the executions of these people. They didn't kill them all, though, by the way. They took the pretty young girls, and they turned them over to the Mujahideen to be raped. All in perfect harmony with Islam. Yes, the Islamic State was acting barbaric. That is for true. But that was history at this point. Once the girl has been hauled away to be raped, you can't do anything about it. They'll be raped until they're raped to death. Once you've had the Muslims and the Islamic State, which is now a blend of the American Awakening Program and the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, once they've cut off a person's head in Islamic rage, there's nothing you can do about it. This eyewitness said that every time they would cut off someone's head, they yelled, Allahu Akbar. Now, there is another Kurdish regional government chief of staff saying, there's 20,000 people that still remain on Mount Sinjar, according to Fraud Hussein. No. There's about 2,500 up there. The shepherds. He said that he wanted more American weapons. Now, it is true that the Islamic State has been savage there. The women have been enslaved. He says this, here's a quote from one of the adults who left the area. It's interesting that this particular Yazidi is in Israel. Israel accepted him. His son was suffering from a serious illness, and Israel took him into one of the hospitals to cure him. He said that back there in the realm of Islam, screaming Allahu Akbar, they would cut off head after head after head. Allahu Akbar, convert to Islam or die. In a frenzy of death, they cut off one head after another. A woman living in the United States says that her sisters were kidnapped by the Islamic State and that they are being raped. They were told also that they had to convert to Islam or die. The quote is from one who escaped the carnage now in the United States, is the terrible things that we saw with our own eyes are just horrifying. For example, a pregnant woman refused to convert to Islam. They plunged a knife into her belly. Not only killed the unborn child, but watched her bleed to death. Where's the Muslim guy telling us that the Islamic State is being un-Islamic? While the hypocrisy is just astonishing here, that the United States is trying to get Nouri al-Maliki to resign, and they want Abadi to take over the Iraqi government. And yet the sponsor of al-Baghdadi is the Grand Ayatollah al-Sistani, and Khomeini are the primary backers. So that means that America is now rallying behind the same guy that the Iranian mullahs want, and that's going to be the solution. How could you be that stupid? So increasingly, and isolated, they say, Nouri al-Maliki again protested as his removal. Now, what he did is he brought the military into Baghdad, by the way. It just took them all out of the camps and brought them all into Baghdad because most of the military is loyal to him. It's also interesting that most of the Shiite militias are loyal to him. And he's continuing to protest his removal as Iraqi prime minister because it was done not on constitutional grounds, but on political maneuvering. His prime minister delegate Abadi, who received a tiny fraction of the votes that al-Maliki did, held consultations on forming a government. Shiite-led government forces and their allies among the ethnic Kurdish militias of northern Iraq, at the same time, of course, were in action, receiving through the CIA vast amounts of French and American weapons. And yet the United States is telling them, and they rejected being part of any government, and they don't want to be part of any government. And so the United States is saying, you know, you all got to come back in and be part of this government, and yet they're giving weapons directly to the Kurds, who want nothing more than to have an independent Kurdistan. And it's astonishing that people can't put together the pieces and say, wait a minute, you can't give heavy weapons to the Kurds and then tell the Kurds to integrate back into Iraq. Once you've given the Kurds heavy weapons, sophisticated weapons, and lots of them, then they are forever independent. You can't use them now as a unification ploy. I mean, the only thing that you could expect is the United States to be so stupid as tell the Kurds, well, if you go and you participate to bring in the Iranian candidate, then I will give you these weapons. And they'll say, oh, sure, we'll go and do that. No problem. Give us the weapons, and we'll go in and endorse the Iranian candidate. And the moment we've endorsed him, we'll go right back to Kurdistan and deploy the weapons to declare Kurdistan independent. That's what's happening there. The Kurdish forces, of course, were engaged fighting the Islamic State as the European Union began to follow the U.S. lead and provide heavy arms directly to the Kurds and step up efforts to help tens of thousands of refugees fleeing the advancing hardline Islamists. Maliki, in the meantime, has deployed his network of commanders in the Iraqi Shiite armed forces and also all of the Shiite militias which are loyal to them, and has staged them all around Baghdad. The Iranian supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, in Tehran, spoke of the U.S. As the adversary, but said that he shared a common interest in curbing the rise of Sunni jihadists in Syria and Iraq. Of course he does. And offered his personal endorsement of Abadi. This is what he said. I hope the designation of the new prime minister in Iraq will untie the knot and lead to the establishment of a new government and teach a good lesson to those who aim for sedition in Iraq. In other words, yeah, I want to have this guy because he will release all possible fury on the Sunnis. Nothing says unification more than teaching people a good lesson. Iranian media reported that the Ayatollah Khamenei of Iran had sent his envoy to take part in the discussions with the Shiite religious leaders, which would mean the Ayatollah Sistani, to find an alternative to Maliki. This is their alternative. You think that's a solution? And Obama's rallying all around him. That the President of the United States finds the same candidate acceptable that the Grand Ayatollah, Ali Sistani and Khomeini, are endorsing. Meanwhile, the ethnic Kurdish Peshmerga, which is confronts death, pushed back on the defensive by the Islamic State this month that they're receiving what the United States is now calling extremely sophisticated arms. They played us for fools. And this notion that you want integration while arming the all three sides. America is supplying the arms for Ayatollah Khamenei's and the Grand Ayatollah al-Sistani's candidate and army and militia, while also providing the arms for the Islamic State because they're combating the Assad government, while now providing heavy weapons to the Kurds. It is indeed stunning. By the way, another comment on the issue in just north of St. Louis, Missouri. Governor Jay Dixon promised the residents of Ferguson that they're going to see a different tone in response by police after five nights of unrest that have used tear gas and rubber bullets to control the crowd. Earlier, Senator Claire McCaskill of Missouri said the police response in Ferguson needs to be demilitarized. And now it's time. Is they're going to bring in a different law enforcement branch, probably federal officers. America is turning into a military state. This is an extraordinarily scary time. By the way, one other item in the news, and we're going to go to Nick, who has called in with the Torah question. We have convoys of anti-government protesters rallying around an Islamic cleric that have been walking and traveling and riding by the tens of thousands from Lahore, Pakistan, to Islamabad. The protesters are separately led by opposition politician Imran Khan and anti-government Islamic cleric Tarul Qadri. They want the Prime Minister, Sharif, to resign. The government, meanwhile, has accused the protesters of trying to derail democracy, while the protesters saying that the 2013 election poll was nothing but a complete fraud. Tens of thousands of security personnel have been deployed in Islamabad and in cities across the Punjab province. Roadblocks have been put in place in all major entry points for the cities. Mobile phone networks have been suspended. Many fear clashes between Mr. Qadri's Islamic followers and told as they are marching to hold a revolution on Islamabad. I don't know if Mr. Qadri, who was recently based in Canada and just returned to Pakistan a month or so ago, as a religious zealot, is going to prevail in the Islamic takeover. Pakistan is a fundamental Islamic country. But whether it's going to be run by Islamic clerics or not, based upon Mr. Qadri. It's going to happen. Whether it's Qadri or someone else, Pakistan is going to be taken over by fundamentalist Islamic zealots. And you need to be concerned about that because Pakistan has an arsenal of nuclear weapons. Hello, Nick. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. I understand you have a question on the Torah.
Is it blessedyahweh.com or is it some other website?
Download the
Torah.
All of the books that I have written, except one, can be viewed directly on the sites devoted to those books, but they're also available on the blessedyahweh.com website. So it's bless, B-L-E-S-S, Yahweh, Y-A-H-O-W-A-H, .com website.
Yes, but you said that there is one where I can download a version that I can listen to on my MP3 player.
Oh, okay. No, the audio version of Introduction to God, and I think also of Yada Yah, and maybe even Questioning Paul. The audio version is at a different website. It's yhwh-qra.com. So YHWH, the four letters that comprise Yahweh's name, YHWH dash QRA. QRA stands for Kara, which means you're invited. So YHWH-QRA.com has an audio version that you can listen to of all of the books, Introduction to God, the seven volumes of Yada Yah, as well as Questioning Paul. And the thing that is, the BlessYahweh.com website has all of those books. It doesn't have the audio version of those books. The audio that's at BlessYahweh.com just happens to be the audio of this program. But rather than just by date, you can listen to the archives by content. And neither of these sites I have nothing to do with. The sites are both run by gentlemen I've come to know and care about and I respect, but I have no say whatsoever, no involvement in their websites. I like them a lot. I recommend them. But at the Bless Yahweh website, BlessYahweh.com website, they have the archives of this program as well as the archives of the Blog Talk Radio Shabbat's Torah Study program.
And
so if you want to...
Another thing. On your page on Sharing Myth on GSN website, before you used to have a link to at least one of your websites on that page to, I think
right.
It was Questioning Paul or something.
Yeah,
or
it used to be all of them. And then somehow they get pulled off, and so you're telling me now that they're back off again?
There's none, not
yeah,
one.
Okay.
So it would
all
be
right.
Nice if you put them all.
Yeah, you know, I am...
Well, they updated the thing.
Yeah, they updated it, and they updated it without any of the links to the various websites. And the websites, you know, this is important. So the omission, and GCN is constantly doing this, where they're changing things and omitting things. But the reality here, it's really important. And it's important because we're making claims and statements about Islam that I prove in Prophet of Doom. You ought to have access to it. We're making claims about Paul that we prove in the book Questioning Paul. You ought to have access to it. We're making claims that about Yahweh that we prove in Yada Yah. You ought to have access to it. And the best tool to understand who God is and what he's offering is Questioning Paul.
Downloading. That's why.
Not just Questioning Paul, but Introduction to God, introtogod.com. That should also be available. I also noticed that GCN just recently changed the access that they were providing to the archives, and it's a much clumsier interface than the previous one. So I don't know why they did that either.
Okay, well, that's all I wanted to ask. I wanted to know where I could download the stuff and to remind you to have those links up. Usually I access through GCN, you know, to everything.
Right.
But now that I found the shows that I can download without the commercials, I downloaded from BlessYahweh.com. The way they changed the thing, too, you have to download one show at a time where
I
can download everything at once from any other website, or at least from their previous version.
Yeah, you notice that in the past, while I haven't, I've spoken of the BlessYahweh.com website and the fact said that the shows were there, I really haven't spoken as a substantial endorsement of them. And I, now that GCN has made it so difficult to listen to the archives of this program on the GCN site, and when now we have the comparison of GCN changing things to make it very difficult versus the Bless Yahweh site that not only strips them of the news and commercials, but also provides a description of what each hour represents. So, you know, you can choose, you know, do I want to listen to this or do I want to listen to something else? And you can maneuver through the archives by subject matter. And it's a vastly superior presentation of these archives. And bottom line here is, you know how much I'm paid to buy GCN to provide this program?
Millions of thank you, right?
You know, I have not even had a single thank you. Never had a single comment from them saying, good job, thank you. We appreciate what you're doing.
That's not very fair.
That's no, not
I work for GCN.
Yeah,
I
that's true.
All the time.
Yeah, well, you do. this is Scott's Scott's voice.
I'll find out about the websites today for you, Nick, and I'll try and get them back up on there and kind of find out what the plan is on that. I just found out the other day when Craig forwarded an email to me.
I have sent them two emails already, so asking him to change it back or at least make it so then I can search or view more than one show at the time.
Yeah.
And nothing so far.
You know why the archives are so important, Nick, is that radio has changed a lot. And in the past, radio was primarily a thing. You know, if you go way back, radio was something that, you know, was more important than television and before the internet even existed. And people listened to the radio and they had radios in their homes. Very few people now have radios in their homes that they listen to. Most people now that listen to talk radio listen in their cars, which is why talk radio has moved almost exclusively now to sports talk, because the people that are in their cars enough to actually create an audience are truck drivers who want to talk sports. And so standard just let's provide a review of the news kind of talk radio shows don't get aired on a lot of radio stations anymore. But what happens is that people now can convenience themselves, and they can listen to the archives on any kind of device, their telephone, and an MP3 player, at their computer, at any time that's convenient for them. And so it's about 90 to 95% of listenership now is archives. We're having a conversation with Nick about archives and also access to audio. It is really interesting, Nick, the role that first archives play now in listenership, and also the role that the spoken word is playing. You know, the kind of one thing first is that even now the largest talk radio program, which would be still Rush Limbaugh's show, which is declining rapidly, but the majority of Rush's audience now isn't listening to radio stations. That's why Clear Channel, that was devoted to those kind of programs, is going broke. Most people are listening online, because online, it's at your convenience. You can listen anytime that's convenient for you, and you can listen on any kind of device that's convenient for you. That's the way it should be. Now, the other thing that's interesting is the spoken word. You probably know that I made the audio, made a complete audio recording of Prophet of Doom. And it was because we had an audio recording of Prophet of Doom that it became so popular outside of this country. And that it's amazing how many people can actually listen to English and understand English when it's spoken, but aren't as comfortable trying to read English. And one of the interesting things was that the highest readership of Prophet of Doom per capita of any country in the world was Iran.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that fascinating? But I think it has a lot has to do with just the power of the spoken word.
Yeah, I like the internet, except, I mean, not everyone affords, you know, unlimited plan, even from Walmart, on that. You know, to listen from the internet. So they still, I mean, radio is still, I mean, the reason why I actually went and found the GCN website is because that Clear Channel that went from FM signal to AM signal. So now I'm no longer receiving them. And but I did like the guy, the Jason Lewis guy, actually. So I'm, you know, went for searching. I found him on GCN, and when I found him on GCN, I started experimenting with all other talk hosts, and that's how I found you, and that's how I, you know, began my journey to the Islam and other mm-hmm. things that led me. Actually,
yeah. You know, next to something else that you just said that was interesting. When I started writing which was about 10, 11 years ago. What I found is that about 95% of those who, like you, came to know Yahweh, who was led to the truth about who God actually is and what he's offering, that about 90 to 95% came because they were confronted daily with all sorts of carnage and hostility and terrorism being perpetrated by Muslims, and they wanted to know what it was about Islam that was causing Muslims to behave so badly. And so here was this book that was the most comprehensive presentation of the Islamic scriptures, the only book that took the Quran and put it in chronological order using the earliest hadith accounts. And so the vast majority of people who came to know Yahweh, at least initially, came to know him because they were introduced initially to him because they'd come to find out what was wrong with Islam. Well, you know, why was Islam responsible for 99% of the world's terrorist acts? And that's how we began to start. I mean, our first conversation, you were curious as to whether or not Muhammad was really a pedophile when he began having sex with the 6 to 9 year old, depending on which account you read, as he was 50 to 53, with Aisha, and whether or not that was a legitimate criticism of Muhammad being a pedophile. That was our first conversation 2.5 years ago. Do you recall?
Yes, I do. You know what I'm thinking? When those end times do come,
yes.
I'm not really actually. I even sorry for myself in that term of I'm not really that unhurried to become a part of a family of Yahweh. But I'm just excited to see how is he gonna take care of Muslims and how world will be rid of this.
Plague.
I just want to see it all for myself. How and why?
Yeah.
And
a lot of that. If you go to yadayah.com, Nick, and we did talk about this program, so you probably listened to those shows. But the seventh volume has a lot to say about that. We'll be back.